spend a few minutes in being prayer for those in Hot Springs. I'll go there too. Continue to be in prayer for his husband, John, and just be in prayer again for each other. Do we have any other requests in regard to prayer? Yes. Just an ongoing thing with you, isn't it? Is it going to be all the way till she's 18?
I have no idea.
Wow, this is hard, man. This is a tough one. Okay, so be in prayer. You know the situation, and that Lord will just overrule, and so that his plan can work out, and we'll just get to grow in knowledge of Christ and the Word and relationship with the Lord. So let's be in prayer. Thank you. Yes. Hey, it just flew out. Hey, that's good, Amber, right. Man. Yeah, it's good. Coming in there, like, it's engraved in the degree matter now. Got a little kink in there, all right? Good, thank you. Any other things we need to be in prayer? Yes. Your son?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Is he in pain?
No,
he's just wow, that hurts. Man. Well, let's be in prayer. Might get to the doctor. They don't know what it is?
No, they
just
think
it's grass or something. Getting outside eating the grass. I used to be having a boy. Something with boys. We like to get out there and say, well, let's taste it. Say that.
Yeah.
Yes, let's definitely be in prayer. My goodness, those things. You know, sometimes those things can start off very simple. And if you're not, you don't get a hold of it, can become severe. So let's do be in prayer. Anything else? Need to be in prayer? Okay, let's go to the throne of grace and spend some time together. And please continue to be in prayer with and for each other. Let's pray. Father, we consider it a great privilege to approach you in prayer. Our numbers are small, Heavenly Father, but walk in the power of your Spirit, therefore there is divine power. In the presence. With two or more gathered in your name, there is the presence of your Son. And so, Heavenly Father, we let our prayers be made known to you, our request. Some of these prayers we understand are iffy prayers, if you answer them according to your divine plan. And some of these prayers, Heavenly Father, are power prayers that we know with all certainty that you will answer. How wonderful it is to have a God with whom we can communicate in prayer. And pray now, Father, as we open up the Scriptures to once again look in those areas, Father, that you will allow us to see if we will but allow your Spirit to open these things up to us. Otherwise, we will not see them. So, Father, we pray that you will direct us in these next few moments, that your Spirit will be the teacher. Reveal these things to us, Heavenly Father. All the answers that we need, the foundation of our faith, are found in this book. If we will but, Heavenly Father, be led by your Spirit to it. Guide us now in the adventure through this book, Father, by your Spirit to reveal to us the truth that is found herein. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, to the disappointment of many, they didn't find any Martians on Mars, not so far anyway. I don't know if any of you got to hear Paul Harvey. I was driving home, and Paul Harvey came on, and he said, you know, he goes, see, you have Paul Harvey is. And he said, report from the Martians, they have now come in contact with Earth creatures. And they described them as coming out of this dome-shaped thing, and Earth creatures have four wheels and just bump into rocks. all kinds of stories. But what is interesting is in the front page, and if you've watched, I've watched a little bit on the channels dealing with the pictures that they've actually had taken and different things going on. On Mars, I love the time we live and just it happens and we're on Mars right there with our craft, and why not? We're paying people to pay for it. But in the Dallas Morning News, Mars craft, the little craft that landed on Mars, sees signs of past floods. scientists have seen no evidence of life on Mars, but new photos from the Pathfinder mission show more more clues supporting the long-held idea that water, considered a prerequisite for life, once flowed on the surface of the red planet. Let's see, I should have brought my glasses if I'm going to read. But the aircraft, it goes through, got some quotes. But the Pathfinder spacecraft landed in an ancient flood plain. The rocks, strewn about the formation, the area shown, showed that water once coursed through this area where the Pathfinder is. Some of the rocks near the Pathfinder lean against each other in a way that suggests they were tossed into alignment by a giant flood, mission scientists reported. And then it goes on carrying that idea through all the way through the article. Okay, let's open the Bible to Genesis 1:1. Let's see if we can find out what happened, why they're finding what they're finding. Let's see if the Bible gives us any light to these things and that are important to the book of Revelation. And I don't expect scientists to in any way accept what the Bible has to say here. But for those of us that will see, let's see if we can see what's going on. Now, I hope that all of you are aware, and the only way we can be is by faith, the pre-universe, the first universe, long before Genesis 1 ever came into being. What and the way things look, we not are all that sure. We have various words and directions in Scripture that I'm. This is just to spend some few minutes with you tonight on some things that we haven't looked at. After reading that, just motivated to do it, and so this is for whatever reason we're doing. Throughout the Bible, God is always said to come from the west. So let's take a look, if we can, in our mind. And again, this is not a dogma. It's just taking some things that we have of the first universe. Now, I'm going to draw several different things if you want to follow through. But this is the first universe. And in the first universe, we have, rather than the way we look at things up and down, if we think of it, the west, this is west and east. And throughout the Scriptures, God is said to come from the east. So let's put the throne of God here in the west, in some area of the west. The throne of God we'll put here. And then as you move toward the east, man is always said to come from the east. So we're going to draw some kind of a structure here, and we will call this earth. To what degree it deals with the Garden of Eden and where exactly the Garden of Eden is. We're not going to get into a debate with that right now. But then you have the abode of the angels. Here is the abode of the angels in this area. And also, throughout all of this, is the universe. So let's just zero in on one aspect here. We have, for an example, Mars out here somewhere in the midst of this universe. Now, by the way, just for your, just to put some thought in your soul, this is the layout of the temple. You have the Holy of Holies, the position of God in, actually, this is like this, in the eastern or the westernmost section, and then you come out. Moving from that direction, you come to the holy place where you have the table of incense, the lampstand, showbread, and so you have the holy place. Now, this is where man could come into here. And then when you come out here, you have the court, and more could come into this area. And then you have the court of men, Jews, and then you have the court of the women. And then you have the general court, or even Gentiles, to come as you move toward the east. So if you move from the west, God, and when you see this in a lot of scriptures in dealing with the west and God from the west, you get this kind of picture of what's going on. Now, in this universe that I have on the board, however long ago is when we had dinosaurs on the planet. We had all of these types of things. They just found another one, what they feel is the evidence of another one in Australia. I don't know if you heard the news, and they've had such a shifting in the weather and winds, and they've discovered some prehistoric, if you please, footprints, and they estimate that the dinosaur had to be at least 100 feet tall, and different things about it. So you had these prehistoric animals, dinosaurs, if you please. So we have the superior being of angels, and then their pets. And God, they're dealing with the relationship, association of the higher creature, even with animals here, when we know them as dinosaurs. Today, some of you have dogs and horses and different kind of cats, if you please, and just different animals. Well, we have some indication that even angels and the animals. But anyway, this is what the prehistoric world looked like. Then Lucifer goes into his rebellion against God. Now, what we currently have is somewhere in this area also is the Garden of Stone, and where Lucifer was allowed to travel as the priest. And Lucifer was the priest, and he was the communicator for the angels in this whole realm out here in the eastern section. He was allowed to travel to the west and would have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. But at one point he rebelled, and the great battle occurred, a certain number of angels. So what Satan did, he said, I will and I am. And a lot of angels believed that and followed him. And so a great rebellion broke out, and a battle broke out. Now, the first battle that broke out was a battle over power. This was a demonstration of power, and God won. And so there came a judgment, a divine judgment. Now, this takes us to C2. Now, what the divine judgment centers on is a very important word in the Bible and a very important word in mythology. At about, 25 ancient, not Greek, but ancient mythology of the ancient Near East, mostly, as much as I can find. And there's a very important word in ancient mythology, and that word is Vedic. This is a very important word. And the deep is a word that I want you to get associated with in your mind. The deep is associated with divine judgment. The deep is the power of God, the position of God to judge. Now, what happens is, if we take this universe that we see here, now let's go to the second drawing. And in this drawing, what we're going to look at is the before or as Genesis 1 and 2 come into being. And Genesis 1:1 is an introductory statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's an introductory statement. And Genesis 1:1 and 2 begin the second universe. And the first universe came before all of this that we have recorded here came into being. Now, the universe after the divine judgment, of the first universe, it looks something like this. Dr. Walkey, Dallas Seminary, brilliant mind, and head of the Hebrew department when I was there, for most of the time I was there. He left my senior year, and then Dr. Barker, who is also a genius in so many areas, put out a little blue book. It's an excellent book. It lays some good things down, there's some areas that you know may question, but by and large, very good. Now, what the universe looked like is something like this. If we can put a perimeter line here, you permit me to put, this is our second drawing here, you put a perimeter line like this, and then what we're going to do is we're going to put the Earth, big E for the Earth, and we'll put the Earth here. Now, what we're going to do is this area right here, from the borderline here and to the Earth and involving the Earth, is the deep. This is the deep. Now, if you look at verse 2, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was all over the surface of the deep. Now, before we go to the next thing, just let's get a picture of it right there. Before we have the Holy Spirit moving into it, let's get a picture of what we have. Now, Tahom is the word for Greek, for the deep, Tahom. And it looks like this. And what you have here is, this is a T. Remember, Hebrew reads from right to left. And you have a T and an E. And here's an H. And then we have an O and then WM sound, the home. T-E-H-O-W-M. This is the M, and we'll translate this. There's the O, that little dot, W. And Tahom is the word for the deep. Now, this word appears in a lot of ancient mythology in dealing with the same thing that we're going to see in the Bible. The word Tahom, translated deep, it refers to the abyss. This is also abyss, when it's sometimes translated in some of the New Testament passages. It's the same concept, and sometimes even in the Old Testament. It's the abyss. It's the surging, an abyss, or Tahom, is a surging mass of water. It's a surging mass of water. Now, what has happened is that the earth and the universe is now encompassed in this surging mass of water. And Satan, kind of follow this now, Satan, who was Lucifer, his name is now changed, Satan and all the angels that followed him are now cast into the deep. They are now cast into the deep, and they are stationary there, because the deep is going to become ice. The deep is going to become ice. Now, what we have here is we have God's power, God's position to judge. When you hear the word deep, it is God's power to judge. And it can also be to bless, as we'll see in a few minutes. But it's God's power to judge. The divine judgment by God. Now, I want to let you know something about this. I'll put water here. When you have a judgment by water from God, that lets you know one thing. Restoration is in order. Restoration is coming. When you have a judgment by God in fire, it's final. That's final. Let's take a look, for example, at Genesis 6. The earth is covered with water. Okay? That lets you know that there's going to be a restoration. But we also know at the end of time, there'll be a judgment of fire on the earth, and this earth will be no more, and a new heaven and a new earth will come about. So you have a judgment of water. No matter how severe, whether it's ice, flood, whatever it may be, you know that what God has in mind is not destruction, but restoration. So we have the judgment of God now, and on this whole area, planet Earth included, and that's what's talked about because that is what is at issue. But Mars also experienced this massive amount of water judgment. And all of the things in our universe are frozen into this place called the deep. So that's the position of it. Now in Genesis 1-2, if you look at the last phrase, it says, "And the Spirit of God," that is the Holy Spirit, "was moving over the surface of the waters." Okay, the Holy Spirit starts warming things up. This lets us know some other things. Jesus Christ is in the business of coming to earth and providing the means of salvation, his death on the cross. The Holy Spirit is the agent of restoration, and he has a part of our salvation, one, and he also is the agent of salvation, two. That's why he becomes the object of our faith in salvation, too. This has always been the work of the third member of the Godhead. And so we have now the third member of the Godhead. He starts moving over this. Any questions of the first two charts? Okay. The Holy Spirit now is going to start moving over the deep, all that we have here. And so now we're going to have some new things that are going to start occurring. Now, in the third picture that we're going to look at, which is going to be very much like that one, and so let's just get it going here. Here is the earth. Our third one. This is the earth. Now, in dealing with the earth, we're going to have this outer limit of the deep. Outer limit of the deep. And we have, this is all ice, and the ice is now becoming water by the movement of God the Holy Spirit. And we have the fallen angels, we have Satan. And this becomes very important in the book of Revelation. So just stay with me. Satan and the fallen angels are cast into the deep. Now what is going to happen is that God, the first thing that God is going to do, and a very important reason for this, he's going to bring on the scene. So what I'm going to do is draw this line down here, like so, and he's going to bring in light. Light. And what does Scripture say? God is light. So this is, if we can see what's going on in the spiritual realm is demonstrated in the physical, and divide the darkness. Now this is before anything else happens. The deep is still in the massive structure, and by the way, all of this is darkness. I forgot that. All of this is darkness. All of this is darkness. We have darkness and darkness. But now, in fact, let's go back and put it in on this one. If you are taking your drawing charts as I am, you want to write darkness out here, and darkness, this is all dark. It's dark all through here. It's dark all around. This is darkness. But now what's going to happen is the darkness is going to be divided, and we're going to have light and darkness. Look with me at Genesis 1, 3 through 5. "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness." Separated. Darkness is always separated from light. That which belongs to God separated from that which belongs to Satan, to the powers of darkness. That's why when you and I are in sin, we take on that which we are not. We act as though we are belonging to power of darkness, but we don't. All right, "And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night." So here we have day, symbolizing light, and here we have night, symbolizing the darkness. And these will become very important patterns through Scripture, walking in the day, walking in the night. The night of darkness is the time of Satan. And so we have these things coming. "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. So this is the picture that we have at this point. Now, we move to the fourth one. Let's take a look now at our fourth one. See, as we develop this, as we go through, find out what's happening. Here's the fourth one. Now, what's going to happen? Well, let's read and then come back and see if we can visualize what's going on in the fourth one. Let's read verses 6 and 7. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." Okay, you got two spans of water, if you can get this, and I'll show you how we're going to look at this. And so there we have two spans of water, and God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. Okay, let's see what we can do. Verse 8 introduces a new one. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning a second day. Okay, let's see what's happening now. You got a picture of the way that it was? This is the way that it was. Now, so we have, so that you'll be able to follow through this. You see, the deep is all of this. So what God is now going to do, He's now going to separate the waters. What is a deep? A deep is a mass of surging water. So we have this water. God is going, so if you can imagine where I'm going to go with this, is let's just take this and draw a line like the circle like this all through here, and we're going to divide it, and we're going to have a space in between. And that space is going to be called the heavens, and we'll see why. All right, so this is what we're going to have looking like. Let's start with the earth. Here's the earth. And what we're going to have now with the earth is we're going to have an area like that. And this is going to be water. The deep is now being divided. So we have water all around. And this will, for the lack, so that we can communicate, we'll call this the lower deep. Call this the lower deep. We can call it the inner deep. Inner deep. Whichever way you want to go at it. This is the lower or the inner. Now what we've got is and that the inside of here, this is the deep, this is the water, and we'll call this one the outer deep, or the upper deep, whichever you like. It's the upper deep, outer or upper deep. This is water, and this is water, okay? So water, the earth is still in water, and we have the waters divided now. And this space, if you please, expanse, that's in between these two waters is heavens, called the heavens. Here are the heavens in this area. So we have these here now. Now the heavens is the word Shamayim. You can hear it up here. Shamayim. Shamayim. That's S-H-A. Sha-ma-n-a-yim, Y-I-M sound. Sha-ma-yim. And what we have, this is the S-H, there's an A, M, A, and then this is the Y sound right here, and then this is an M, when the radical letter M comes at the end of a word, or the end, it's shaped differently than it is when it's inside. Hebrew is a lot of fun to learn. This is the word Shamayim. That's the word for heavens. And the heavens describes the area between the two waters. What does the word heavens mean? You look at a lot of dictionaries, lexicons, like Hebrew lexicons. It's between the waters. It's the space that separates the waters is the ideal of the root concept. So when you have the word heavens, it's the space that separates two waters. And that's what you have in this area now. You have the space that separates the two waters. You have the heavens. Here's all of the universe here. All the universe, and we have the space that's separating the two waters. So we have the deep now is the power of God is demonstrated, the power of God to judge, the power of God to curse, the power of God to bless, because this is going to be turned into a blessing, what he's doing, all with the use of the deep. And the ideal of coming from the deep, coming from the water, is going to be used for blessing, it's going to be used for cursing. For an example, if we talked about a blessing, we would talk about that which gives life. So it is a life-giving, life, what we might call the sweet deep that gives, or the life-giving deep. And it also is used for cursing, and that is death. The bitter deep that results in death. And sorrow, bitterness, this type of thing comes from this. So the deep is the power of our God to do whatever our God desires to do in the realm of judgment and blessing, however he wants to set it up. And all of the angels, there's nothing they can do. And certainly there's nothing that you and I can do to put ourselves into position and understanding. This gives us a view of the extent of infinity. The sovereignty of God, the omnipotence of God. If God does what God is going to do, and who are you to judge, to question what God does? Sometimes we forget that this is what the little trip that Job was taken on. Were you there when I did all of this? And I'll show you that if we got time. Were you there when I did all of this? I'm God. How dare you to even question me, Job? How dare you to try to vindicate yourself before me? I am God. We stand back at the awesomeness of God and not just be words, but be taken to that point where we, like Job, we finally come face to face with just the awesomeness of God. And this helps us to understand the awesomeness of God, to see these kinds of things. All right, any questions up to this point? We don't know. Oh yeah, we just beyond, just everywhere, just infinity, if you please. But at some point, is the outer deep, this outer branch of water, separates the heavens. Maybe the universe is out here, John. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Within this realm, there's three. By the way, you hear these reports, like this one that they found, the foot I was just telling you about, they found in Australia, 25 million years old. Who knows? Who knows the span of time that the first universe existed when you had the dinosaurs and all of this going on? We don't know the amount of time. We don't know the amount of time that this remained, that all remained captured in the deep. We don't know. And this process starts coming on, and we do know here 7 days. So we got there 6 days after. We got this one down. But how long do others work? Now, my answer is always, in regard to those kinds of questions, even back when I was at the University of Houston, seminary helped a little bit and doing some other reading that they got, but God can do whatever God wants to do. If he wants to make it look like 25 million years of our estimation of time, God can do that. And it may have just been a day. And I mean a literal 24 hours. I think it was longer than that, but I'm just making a point. God is God. And he wants to make it look like it was 25, what you and I know as 25 million years. Calculate how many days that is in our time. He can do that. And it not be that long, or it be that long. So what scientists see I'm not even bothered by it. A lot of Christians, oh well, you know, they find anybody, well, it wasn't that long, and we know that the earth is only 4,500 years old, or up to 2,000 now, and 4,500 that'd be 6,500 years old. And then they get real bothered when people start talking about 25 million years and the dinosaurs and all this stuff. If you get into perspective what's going on, it doesn't bother us at all. Our God is God, and if he wants to make all of this just appear to be 25 million years, then fine. If he wants it to be, if it was an actual 25 million years, that's fine. I don't have any problem with the time factor. Okay, so this is our fourth one, all right? Now, let's take a look at the way things look, and our fifth one. Let's take a look at the way things look now in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Let's get a picture of how things look. Now, let's read real quick again. Then, in verse 2, you have the Holy Spirit starting to move over. So that starts melting the deep. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And all of this has the spiritual patterns and implications. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. So as you see that, now I have separated the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning a second day. Okay, let's see if we can get a picture now. It's going to be very much like the one you just drew. But here's the earth. And we have this lower deep. We have the lower deep in play here. And we have this outer deep. So this is what it looks like. Now, let's add what we studied first before even this happened. We're going to do this. And we have light, and we have darkness. We have light, and we have darkness. Now let's stop and talk about what God is doing here. Each of these have their period. They each have, as it were, they have their share of time to demonstrate themselves. So we have 12 hours. In 12 hours. So they each have their time which they can demonstrate themselves. They can reveal themselves. And God created. God created all of this, put it all, and then he set up a period for the darkness to reveal itself. And so in the darkness, now let's go into this area here, and I'll just write the word darkness. So in the darkness, what do we have? In the darkness, this is what we call the night, and the night is ruled by what? Well, ruled by Satan, but just when you and I walk out at night, the moon, we see it's ruled kind of by the light of the moon. So what's in the night, here we have a moon. We have the moon, and we see the stars. We don't see them at day, but we see them at night. So we have that. We have the moon and the stars here. Now over here we have light, and we have day, and corresponding what rules the day? The sun. So we have the sun here, and this, of course, picture of Jesus Christ, light of the world, the light of all. Okay, so if you see now some of the things that will be carried on all through Scripture. In dealing with the sun and the moon, the light, the darkness, the day, the night, the sun, the moon, the stars, this type of thing. And so God has set the scene for all of these things now to be put into play. Okay, now we're ready for the sixth one. Put our sixth little chart together and see what happens with this one. Now this one is going to be Genesis 1, 9, 10. We're going to look at Genesis 1, 9, and 10. Let's read it, and then see if we can look at it. And then we'll come back and read it again, see if we've done it. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Okay, let's see what we've got here. We've got the earth. There's the earth. But what is going to start happening now is, I'm going to need more room, I'm sorry. So this is our sixth one. This is our sixth one. And it's Genesis 1, 9, and 10. And what we're going to do is concentrate. It's going to still have that outer deep. But what we're going to look at now is this inner deep. And what happens with this inner deep? The inner deep is now, let's go ahead and put this out here for you in perspective of where we are. There's the outer deep still going on, and here's the heaven. And so now, what do we have? Now what we're going to have is we're going to have, you can look at it, bodies of water or bodies of land, but let's just say here's a sea, and sea, and sea, and here's a sea, and here's a sea, and here's a sea. Here's a sea. Okay. Just give you one more. Okay, there's the sea. Now, so what we have now is we have, this is now the sea. And this is the land. Okay. Let's see what we've got going on in all of this now. What has happened is the deep has now been renamed for Scripture, been renamed what? The sea. Been renamed sea. It'll be very important. Very important. Okay? Renamed sea. Look with me at Revelation. Just want to show you. I don't want to lose you, but I want to show you some things. If you look here at Revelation 13:1 with me. Well, hold your place in Genesis 1, even though it's easy to find, but let's look at 13:1. Just so, because I want you to get your mind in what's going on through all Scripture. And he, the seven-headed dragon, this is the seven-headed dragon, who was cast into the deep, you recall, and he stood on the sand of the seashore. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. Very important. Having 10 horns, 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names. Now let's go back to Genesis 1. I just want you to see, I don't want you to lose, this is going to be important all through Scripture, and I could have taken you to a number of books, but I thought that would be the one of the most profound ones that would jump out at you. Satan's going to come up out of the sea. Now, what's so interesting is, when you read the ancient mythology, and even a lot of the classical, by classical that means Greek, but when you read the ancient mythology, the seven-headed dragon comes out of the sea. The dragons come out of the sea. And the sea is the place, the deep in mythology is the place. Now remember, mythology, because you and I know the source of mythology, has nothing to do with the Bible. But the story is just frighteningly close. Satan just made a few little altered a few things. But it's basically the same story. And the deep, to a person that is a scholar in mythology, who may not know the Bible, even though he probably would have studied the Bible, let's say he's not a Christian, that has nothing to do with this in the realm that you and I do. But the deep is very important to him too, because this is the place in which when the prehistoric battle occurred, the great god or the high god cast all of those creatures that he defeated into the deep. It's the place where they were cast. It's the prison, is the way you find it in some of the mythology books. It's the prison place, and yet this is exactly what we have happening in the Bible. So here we have the deep is now renamed, and it's renamed sea. Darkness is renamed night. We have it renamed. Now, the dark and the deep, the dark and the deep, the night and the sea, these two, the night and the sea, these all deal with the domain, the dominion, the rule of Satan. These all deal with Satan's rule, Satan's power, Satan's place of being. Now, look with me at Revelation. Hold your place here. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Let's read verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. So the domain, the power structure of Satan is no more. Does that mean in the new earth there will be no water, no bodies of water? No, it doesn't mean that. If we see what's going on, the domain and the power structure of Satan is removed for all eternity. You and I experience it now in our lives, all through the human history, through the second universe. But when we get to the third universe, all of this will be done away. There'll be no place for him. So the lower deep, actually not all the deep, but the lower deep is renamed. The lower deep is renamed sea. Now remember, so that you'll remember this, you still have this outer deep. Still have the outer deep here. It's still this body of water that is encircling the earth, and it will be used by God throughout the history of man. And we had time to go through various passages, and he opened up the outer deep. And for the purpose of judgment and these things to come through. So we have here then the way things are right now. So we have the heavens, and we have in the heavens we have the moon, and we have the sun. We have stars over here, the moon, and we have stars. We have the planets, Mars, and all of the various planets also occur that are involved in all of this are going on. Now, man, our part in all of this, see, man, confined to the earth, so let's put man in here, creature man is confined to the earth. I was home over the 4th, see my mom, took my mom and her two sisters. And it was very interesting. And I love it that these old ladies, the elder ladies, you know, think and sit here. But all three of them asked, what did I think about, you know, going to the moon and going to Mars and going to all of these places from the spiritual standpoint? And it's just really funny, the massive amount of money that we invest in these things. And when you think of the universe, and then you think of the universe is out here, it's funny. It's like the great accomplishment until you see the whole realm of the world. It's like David and Stephanie, you know, they're proud, and I'm not talking about that, but their little girl Courtney makes it up the flight of stairs and works so hard to get up that flight of stairs. And let's just for the sake of, boy, I've accomplished a great deal. I got to the top. I've gone, and yet you open the front door, and there's a whole world to be, you know, going up the stairs also. And you just sort of smile and say, yes, honey, very proud of you, you know, and very good. And all of the energy. But when you open the door, and you realize what all is out there. So it's just one of those things that happens. But let's play with that. Point one. Just take a few thoughts here. Man looks at the sun and the moon. We look at the sun, and these are very important to scripture, so I want to deal with that. Man looks at the sun and the moon, and if you've ever noticed that You look at a full moon, they look about the same size. They look about the same size from where we are. Point two, man looks at the moon, and if the moon is without light, and we can do that through telescopes, the moon looks dark, desolate, and ugly without its light. But the moon with the light looks very beautiful, very appealing, very romantic, again, very appealing, very charming, charming your way. It's very charming to compare at the moon and when you see its light. Let me ask you something about that. Where does the light of the moon come from? Where does the moon draw its light? From the sun. Without the sun, even the moon would not have life. Light. That's in Scripture. And this is what it's talking about, is God and Satan. If it wasn't for me, Satan, you wouldn't even have life. You wouldn't have anything. I am the source of all things, is the picture that we are seeing with this. And three, man can reach the moon. He can reach the moon, but he will never reach the sun. Man will never reach the sun, but we will reach the moon. I think we have already. I think we've accomplished a great deal. But man will never reach the sun. The sun, take some thoughts about it. The sun blinds. The sun even destroys. Unless you have a sunscope, sunglasses, suntan lotion. And what is that? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to see God. The Holy Spirit allows us to come in the presence of God without being blinded, without dying. So we have these things going on in the universe. We have these things going on. The Scripture, the where Satan comes out of the sea. So let's just kind of, I got two things I want to do here, and I got just about enough time. So this is what it all looked like, something like this in the first universe. And then we come to more where we are dealing with it. Then God formed the deep, including the earth here, and became ice, and cast Satan and all of the angels into the deep. They were cast into the deep. Then God brought the difference in light and darkness and separated those, still the deep, still darkness, and then the Spirit starts moving over and warms all of this. And Satan's cast into this deep, and then it's turned into an ice pack. But after the great battle, God just cast him into this. And then, keep moving over here, God separated the deep, the outer deep, the inner deep, the two masses of water, caused this area the heavens. This is what the whole picture looks like. And when you finish up the creation, then the rest of the creation, or actually restoration, not creation, will all involve what all is going to go on down here to restore the earth to the way it was way back here on that first one. And so that life and it can be beautiful, but Satan turned it into all of these things. Now, and then you have pictures in various scenes in Job. You have a picture of Leviathan, who is in the sea, and Behemoth, and all of these in mythology are in the deep. They are in this mass turbulent water called the deep, even in mythology. And they will come out from it. The seven-headed dragon comes out of the deep, out of the sea, out, and that is the deep, comes out of this mass of water. And it comes out of this. Now, do we have any pictures of these kinds of things that are going on? Look with me at Exodus. Look at Exodus a moment. I didn't plan on doing this. I'm hoping I can find this relatively simply. Yes. Okay. 15. Exodus 15. I want to read something to you here. And I want to see what your mind, and just hopefully you are in the power of the Spirit, what picture comes to your mind as we read. Now, what we're getting ready to read, think we look here before you start reading. What we're getting ready to read is the story of the children of Israel, and they are pursued by Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and the Egyptian army chasing them. And then a great judgment takes place. What did God use to judge the Pharaoh and the Egyptian army? Water. Okay, let's see what. Just remember all this and see if we're not reading something else as well as a story that happened with the Israelites. Verse 1 of Exodus 15. Then Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song to the Lord and said, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its riders he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. And the chariots of his officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deeps cover them. They went down into the depths like a stone frozen. Thy right hand, O Lord, is majesty in power. What did I tell you? The word deep is the power of God to judge. Thy right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellence, thou dost overthrow those who rise up against thee. Thou dost send forth thy burning anger, and it consumes them like chaff. And at the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were piled up. The flowing waters stood up like a heap. The deeps were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire, Satan's desire, and my shall be gratified against them. I will draw out my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like thee among the gods, O Lord, who is like thee, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders. Thou didst stretch out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. In thy love thou hast led the people, from whom thou hast redeemed. In thy strength thou hast guided them to the holy habitation. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Anguish has gripped the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. The leaders of Moab trembled. Trembling grips them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them. By the greatness of thy arm, they are motionless as stone. Until thy people pass over, O Lord, until the people pass over whom thou hast purchased, the cross, thou wilt bring them and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thy dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Let us pray. Father, we do praise you, the God that you are. Thank you for giving us this evening to reflect on the awesomeness of your being. Man, we need to go back, Heavenly Father, and be reminded the awesomeness of your being. The trip that you took Job through, Habakkuk through, demonstrate, Heavenly Father, you are God. Who are we to ever question? Who are we to ever challenge, to ever doubt? When we comprehend the infinity of your greatness, we praise you, Heavenly Father, tonight. And we thank you that we have no reason to be in fear, no reason to worry. You are our God. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.